The Random Jottings of Hinge and Brackett with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With Jean Haywood as Maud and friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle in The First Lady.
There is only one celebrity living in Stacton Trestle at the moment. It's me. Well, locally, they don't look upon Evadne as a celebrity. They look upon her as a curiosity. I am thus always being asked to perform little functions. For example, last year, I was asked to dedicate the extension to the Memorial Gardens. There's a little plaque on the gate there now. At the top it says, Dedicated by Dame Hilda Brackett. And underneath, no ball games. Anyhow, a few weeks ago, Major Dillon Forth called at the old manse with a most unusual suggestion.
Supposing, Hilda, I were to say to you, rugby club supper, what would you say?
Oh!
What day are you having it this year, Major? I'd just like to know so that I can get the barbed wire up along the garden wall.
You didn't have any trouble with them last year, did you?
Oh, no, Major, no trouble. Just two or three of them pole vaulted in on their way home from the do. They were no trouble, were they, Daphne?
I thought they were.
Well, I did tell you not to go to bed, dear, didn't I? I warned you wouldn't get any sleep if you don't. They were as good as gold, Major. We just danced and sang. And after breakfast, they left. The same way that they came, over the garden wall.
By the time I got down to breakfast, there wasn't a thing left to eat.
You shouldn't need breakfast at your age, Evadne. A glass of hot water and a dry biscuit should do you.
I can't think why that couple who run the Dog and Pheasant put up with having the rugby club supper there year after year.
Nostalgia, dear. They used to run a public house in Twickenham. Or was it Wembley?
Actually, Hilda, it was the Surrey Tavern at the Oval.
The Oval, of course. I knew it had something to do with rugger.
You know, having that rugby club supper at the Dog and Pheasant does nothing whatever for the reputation of the place. And what with the breakages, the mess, and the loss of regular custom, I really can't see how it can be worth their while.
Have you been talking to them, Doctor?
No, why?
Because that's precisely what they said to me a while back when I popped in to arrange this year's rugby supper.
Oh, so you're holding it there again, are you, Major?
No.
Well, they've not put their foot down at last, have they?
I'm afraid they have. Apparently the straw that finally broke the camel's back was last year's little prank with the lighted candle and the fire tongs.
Sounds very nasty.
Yes, but most intriguing. What happened, Major?
Oh, one of the silly young blighters took a lighted candle off the table and, holding it in the fire tongs, proceeded to write something in black, greasy, smoky letters all over the newly painted and pristine white ceiling in the dining room.
What did he write there?
I was afraid you'd answer. It was something rather personal but quite witty about the landlady and that mink farmer in the parlour.
Oh, well, we all know about the landlady and the mink farmer in the parlour.
Apparently the landlord didn't.
Well, surely he didn't think she'd paid for all that mink she wears. When that woman's dressed up, she's more covered in mink than a mink.
I must say, I understood it had all blown over. But as soon as I mentioned the rugby club, I realized that it hadn't.
So you're looking for a new venue, eh, Major?
We're not having it here.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Evadne. What idiot would ever dream of holding a rugby club supper here?
You might.
Actually, ladies, I've already secured a new venue. We booked the Hereward the Wake suite at the Middle England Motel.
Oh, dear. All that plate glass. They'll no doubt have to rechristen it the Attila the Hun suite.
I admit I did have to use all my charm and tact to get them to accept the booking. And they finally did so on only one condition.
What was that, dear?
We've got to have women.
Well, it sounds as if it's going to be more riotous than ever.
No. I mean, we've got to allow women to attend the supper. Wives and sweethearts, sisters and mothers. That, they feel, will provide a restraining influence.
They obviously don't know the rugby club.
Anyhow, it's given us the opportunity of updating our image. Furthermore, the committee have decided we may as well break completely with tradition and, for the very first time, have a lady guest of honour, Hilda.
Oh, Major! Not
Not me.
Don't be so darn coy, Hilda. It's the rugby supper you're invited to, not Vespers in a monastery.
What exactly does the guest of honor have to do?
To be able to balance a beer mug on her head and throw bread rolls.
Now, that's a little unfair, Doctor. In fact, the guest of honor usually entertains us for 15 or 20 minutes, proposes the toast of the club, and leads the subsequent sing-song. We've had some pretty big names in the past, you know. Billy Connolly, Max Boyce, Blaster Bates.
Really? I do hope your stories won't seem dull after theirs, Hilda.
Evertly, a good storyteller never has need to resort to coarseness or crudity. Never. Look at Barbara Cartland.
What about Chaucer?
What about him, dear?
Well, some of the tales those pilgrims told on their way to Canterbury were pretty near the knuckle, don't you think?
I don't know anything about that, dear. I wasn't on that little jaunt. But if they were being smutty, you should have stopped them. It's so silly walking all that way with a lot of dirty old men. At least the nun should have known better.
So we can count on you, can we then, Hilda?
Of course, Major, of course. I'm deeply honored.
And what about you, Doctor? You'll come too, I hope.
Why, yes, Major, thank you. Incidentally, when's it to be?
On the 9th of next month, following the cup match at Colchester.
Ah, good. Just as long as I know when to put the barbed wire up along the garden wall.
You are not putting barbed wire along that wall, Evadne. I will not allow it.
Why ever not?
Because I dare say we'll be pole vaulting in ourselves this year.
Now, I'm going to leave this little book here for you, Hilda. It might be of some use when you come to preparing your speech. There's a history of the club in it and all the salient details. Oh, and I'll leave you this as well.
A whistle?
It's the speaker's whistle, Hilda. It was actually given to the club by the old squire half a century or so ago.
Surely the old miser didn't pay for it entirely out of his own pocket, did he?
Well, no, the club chipped in. It is solid silver. And, of course, it's engraved as a gift from the squire.
And what exactly am I supposed to do with it, Major? I mean, you're not keeping anything from me, are you?
Good heavens, no, Hilda. You see, there's a long-standing tradition that when the guest speaker rises to speak, he blows a good hard blast on that. A whistle is the only noise the players really respond to. Mind, it'll be a mere formality this year, I shouldn't wonder.
Want to bet?
Just to think that Blaster Bates has blown into this. What a thrill.
Well, I must be off. I've got to try to talk Lorna into coming to the supper, if I can. She usually goes away that day.
Oh, I didn't know that, Major.
Oh, yes. Well, a few of us usually finish the evening off up at the house. In the pond and things. Don't worry, I'll see myself out. Bye for now.
Bye-bye, Major.
Goodbye.
Well, isn't that an honor, Evadne?
That is a matter of opinion.
Anyway, what do you think I should wear?
Shorts and a striped jersey.
Don't be silly, dear.
And you'd better get some studs put on the soles of your silver slippers.
Mind, I do think it would be a nice gesture if I was to dress in the club colors, purple and green.
I believe that's what they call a strip these days, Hilda.
I don't think it's what the Rugger Club calls a strip, dear. You know, I think we shall have to go on a little shopping spree, Evadne. Well, I shall. I suppose you'll be going as you are.
Am I?
With the possible addition of shin guards.
Very good idea.
Still, you must come shopping with me. We'll go up to London and choose something absolutely stunning. Something that will make the men gasp and the women sick with envy.
I am not going shopping with you. I will not encourage you to go wasting your money like that. You've got masses of dresses upstairs. I mean, you must surely be able to find one that's suitable if you take the trouble to go through all 12 wardrobes.
Evadne, I see nothing clever in being able to cram all one's clothes into an old kit bag. It's why you always look so crumpled. Well, that and old age. Still, I suppose I could find something and make do. Oh, I know. I'll just wear that little white dress of mine.
What little white dress?
The long little white dress.
Which one?
With the train. And the lavender lace. The two-pearl clusters around, you know. And the osprey feather. And...
All right, there's no need to go on, Hilda.
I'll come shopping with you.
Well, that's agreed then. Now, to settle what I shall do... I know. I'll tell a few amusing stories from my theatrical past.
That should be fun.
And before I propose the toast of the club, I shall sing a song or two. Variety, you see. That's what they want. Now, what should I sing?
Bring him down, you Zulu warriors. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes, perhaps. Oh, and I understand they're also particularly fond of a neat little number called The Good Ship Venus.
Now, that might be rather me. Something nautical. Or I could do, Oh, Sir Jasper, do not touch me.
I don't know it.
Well, you should do. It's what I was singing last year down here with those boys while you were trying to sleep upstairs. It's a bit naughty. But it's fun. She wears her silk pajamas in the summer when it's hot.
Do we have to have that?
You know, it's not surprising they never ask you to do this sort of thing, Evadne. You really are the generation gap, aren't you? She wears her silk pajamas in the summer when it's hot. She wears a woolen nightie in the winter when it's not. But later in the springtime and early in the fall, she jumps into bed with nothing on at all.
Poetry.
Or perhaps I should do something they don't know.
Yes, that might be better. At least they couldn't all join in.
In that case, I know the very thing. It's that lovely song by Herman Daruski from As You Were. Live for all you're worth. Yeah. Be an angel, see if you can find it there, won't you?
Oh, very well.
It's so very, very, you see, vibrant, full of life, and the message is one they'll all appreciate. So make hay while the sun shines, and then you don't care if it snows. Have you got it now?
I've got it. Ready when you are.
Right, scrum down. Tuck your head in, dig your heels in, when the whistle blows, play. Listen here, people dear, though this world is what a crying, life is short, be a thought, while the pleasures are flying, wear a smile all the while, make a blot, that's the stuff, what's the good of worrying, make the best of what you've got, live for all your worth, while you are on this earth, for when tomorrow comes, oh, who can tell, although it may be heaven, maybe quite another climate. Everybody knows how fortunes come and go. So you make hay while the sun shines, and then you don't care if it snows. Never mind if you find that you've got more kicks than halfpence. Take away day by day, make the best of your few stray pence. Share your pluck, bear your luck. Don't be done till you've won. Never make a gross of it when it ought to be a law. Live for all your worth while you are on this earth. For when tomorrow comes, oh, who can tell? Sounds like Maud.
Now, she's the sort of woman they need at the rugby club supper, Hilda. She'd keep them all in order as the bouncer.
But I don't think they're very keen on her as it is, dear. Not since the New Year's Eve dance when she broke the captain's collarbone doing the hokey-cokey.
Morning, Dame Milder. Doctor.
Good morning, Maud.
Hello, Maud, dear. Did you have a nice day off yesterday?
Well, I'd not say nice exactly, Dame Milder. I were visiting the sick. Poor old Mr. Parsons from the post office. He's in hospital, just say.
Oh, I didn't know that, dear. It's nothing serious, I hope.
Well, he's out to have a little operation of some sort. But I don't think he's lost anything he couldn't do without.
And how was he?
Well, he were fit enough when I arrived, but he were looking a bit tired by the time I left.
I had a feeling.
How long were you there, dear?
Oh, about 6 hours.
6 hours? People go in for an operation and come out quicker than that. Surely they didn't really let you stay that long, dear?
Well, they did, Dame Milder. Visitants from Totill 8.
I don't think they expect you to stay the entire time, Maud.
They may not expect it, Doctor, but as I took the day off special, and as it's £1.50 on the bus, it'd hardly be worth my while just popping in and out now, would it?
Still, it will have made a bit of a change for old Mr. Parsons, I dare say. How long's he going to be in?
Well, he were coming out next week, Dame Milder, but they reckon it'll be a bit longer now. Seems he didn't do himself no good when he fell out of that bed after I plumped up his pillows. Well, he come off his drip, you see. And he shouldn't have done. Because whatever it is they's dripping into him, he can't do without it. Mind, he always used to do well enough without it afore they got their hands on him. So what they're doing to him, I don't know.
Let's hope they do, dear.
Myself, I don't think it's healthy, just lying there day after day, dozing and being dripped into. What you need, my lad, is fresh air and exercise, says I.
Florence Nightingale's approach.
So I throws open the window and I pulls back his sheet. Well, you should have heard him yell. How were I to know he weren't wearing nothing but a pajama top?
You certainly see life, don't you, dear?
Turn your back, woman, he shouts, knocking over his water jug as he reaches for his dressing gown. I do no such thing, says I. You've nothing I ain't seen before. I'm a married woman.
Is that it, dear? I do believe you're blushing.
Well, if I am, it's for poor Mr. Parsons. After all, if a man can't go without his trousers in his own bed in hospital, where can he?
What a very funny question for you to ask.
He got him on soon enough. Mind, it was a bit of a struggle. He was down on the floor twice before he finished. Do you know, every time he bent down, and I followed him down with his drip, he thought as I were peeking.
You should have called a nurse, dear.
That's just what he said, Dame Milder. Call a nurse, says he. I'll not, says I. They've better things to do than worry about the likes of you. And I pushes him out in the corridor. And I walks him all the while holding his drip. And then suddenly round the corner comes this woman holding hers.
It sounds like a very social afternoon.
I always wondered why they put those drip things on wheels. It never occurred to me that people might like to go walkers with them.
Now, I thought that woman would step aside, and she must have thought that we would. But none of us did. And before you could say Jack Robinson, we was all in a fine old mess. It took 3 nurses to sort it all out.
Oh, my goodness, dear. Whatever did you do?
I didn't do nothing, Dame Milder. I had to go for me bus. But I phoned them this morning to find out how he were. And you know, they said as I weren't to go in no more. Fancy depriving that poor old man of visitors.
Just fancy. Well, Hilda, now do you see how handy Maud will be at that rugby club supper? The mere threat would be enough to turn that lot into lambs.
Oh, don't be so unsympathetic, Evadne. She was only trying to be kind. In the weeks before the supper, Evadne and I went up to London. Well, Knightsbridge, actually. Well, it's the only part I really knew. I bought 3 stunning frocks and a gorgeously original hat. And she bought a dress that looked exactly like the one she always wears anyway. Finally, the great day came. And while we waited for Major Dillenforth to collect us from the old manse, I ran over what I was going to say that evening. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with a deep sense of humility that I stand here before you tonight, the first lady ever to be had by the Stepton Manor. As guest of honor at its annual supper.
If I were you, Hilda, I wouldn't leave such a long pause between being had by the Stacton Rugby Club and at its annual supper.
It's a pause for effect.
Yes, I think it'll have quite the wrong effect.
At that point, you see, I smile warmly round at everybody.
That just makes things worse, dear. I think I would rephrase that bit altogether, dear. The bit about being had by the Stacton Rugby Club.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you mean. You do have a nasty mind. Anyway, I do my little introduction and then I tell my theatrical stories.
And which stories have you decided to tell?
Well, I haven't finally decided yet. That will depend to a large extent upon the audience.
No, I don't think it should. I think you should know exactly what you're going to say, have a clear set of notes, and stick to them.
My notes are in my head now.
Not a good place for them.
I shall mention you, of course.
Thank you.
I shall tell them how, at our very first meeting, you somehow contrived to step on my hand. And I shall show them the scar.
That should get a howl.
It will, the way I intend to do it. My hand can be very expressive.
Sounds like your talk's going to be all about me, dear.
Well, don't worry, dear, it isn't. It's going to be mostly about me. But as you're going to be sitting at the piano glowering, I suppose I shall have to mention you. If I don't, they'll probably wonder who dragged you in and what you're doing there.
All right, get on with it, Hilda.
Well, then we sing the song. And I end by proposing the toast to the club. And in so doing, pay particular tribute to its founder, whose foresight, dedication, and determination are still a subject for praise and wonderment whenever rugby men meet. Ladies and gentlemen, pray raise your glasses and drink with me to Stepton Rugby Club and to the immortal memory of its founder. Look in my little book, dear, would you, and see what his name is.
Buster Williams.
Oh, I'll never remember that name. I just can't get it into my head. And I'm usually so good with names, you know. Nunton Oddstock, Boothby Pagnell, Clinis Weedot, Cledwin Muggers Hall. I remember them all. The trouble is, Buster Williams is such a peculiar name. Ah! That must be the Major's car coming up the drive now. Come on, Evadne. We'll go to the front door and meet him. You know, I think tonight is going to be a night to remember.
I think it's going to be one of those I shall want to forget.
All right, Major. All right. We're on our way. Good evening, Major.
Ladies.
Right, Major. We're all ready. Let's go.
I'm afraid not, Hilda. You see, I'm the bearer of very bad news. I just had the captain of the team on the phone. I'm afraid they're not going to get there. To the supper, I mean.
Not going to get there? Well, where are they, dear?
At the Filthy Ferret.
The what?
The Polecat Inn, Evadne. It's up on the A134, about 20 miles from here.
What on earth are they doing there?
Well, it seems they were on the way back from Colchester with the cup and decided to pop in for a quick one. And now, apparently, they can't get the coach started again.
Oh, really?
It's a curious coincidence. Mm-hmm. It transpires that the landlord of the place is an old Rugger Blue. Small world, isn't it?
Positively tiny.
Still, they say the beer's good and the place is famed for its pie and pea suppers.
Mm, they seem to have fallen on their feet, don't they?
The little dears.
It's a most terrible disappointment, I admit. I thought I'd best call personally on all the ladies, try to smooth things over, do you see? I am so sorry. To tell the truth, I don't know whether to cancel the whole thing or just turn it into a hen do. I'll see what the consensus is. I'll keep you posted. Bye for now.
Goodbye, Major.
Bye.
Well, I'm darned if I'm sitting around here in my beautiful new frock waiting for an invite to a hen party. Come on, Evadne, let's go.
Where to?
To the car, dear. And then down the A134 to the filthy ferret. I was invited to be first lady, and first lady I shall be. Anyway, they can't start without me. I've got the whistle.